If Yitz is here, then we're ready.
Okay. Where are we live?
Yep.
Okay. All right, Rav Osai. And if I recall correctly, we're up to Sivvav. So Sivvav brings a famous Machlokes Rishonim about the concept of Rov Tashmisha, which we mentioned, Agav. The problem is this. If you look at the Gemara at the end of the Sechta Budazara, the Gemara says things that we already know, right? Which is that Kitashmishan Kach Hechsheirad. What is it? Things you use cold, you just wash. Things you use with cooking with hot water, you do Hagala. Things you use for roasting on the fire, you do Livan. So the problem is this. Things that you use cold, you just wash, for example. What if the guy, we're talking about buying from a guy, right? Halokeyach klitashmish min ha'akum. What if he once put something hot in it? How can you say you kasher it in accord with the way it was used? What if he once put something hot in it? Yeah, you never know. He could have, right? And the same thing for everything else, you know? What if there's a knife he usually uses with hot food and he once, okay, knives are actually discussed. But what if there's a pot he usually cooks in and he once roasted in it? Could be. Could have happened. What if there's a cup he usually drinks cold from and he once put hot in it? So how can you ever say you kosher it the way it was used? How do you know maybe the guy, we're talking about a good actually, not you messed up. How do you know maybe once the guy used it in a hotter way? So most Rishonim conclude from here, and this is all the Rishonim assume that this is the intention of the Rif and the Rush, and certainly all of the Rif and the Rambam and all the Rishonim Svaras. Say, from here we deduce, since Chazal said, you figure out how to go use it, and you kosher it in the course of how he used it, and you don't worry what he did once, from here we see that you kosher it in accordance with Rov Tashmisha, the way it was usually used, and you don't worry if it was once used in a different way. Now to the Mechaber passing then to Itvav, Kol Kli Hokum Vacha Rov Tashmisha, you follow the normal way it was used, Helkach Ka'aros, therefore, for example, plates, sometimes you could put them in a Kli Rishon. Like, for example, if you have a bowl, you might dip it into the Kli Rishon to use as a ladle on a rare occurrence. Or if you have a plate, I've seen people do this, you might use it as a pot cover, if you're short on pot covers. But that's the normal way, not to put it in the Kli Rishon. And therefore, al ha'esh, even though sometimes you put it on the kibbutz of the fire, came to a rov tashmish shel be'ira, since usually you only use the bowls be'ira, you pour from the pot onto them. Therefore, be'ira shemar lemi kibbutz shon kashu ech sheiran. Since you usually use it with ira kibbutz shon, you can kashu with ira, even though once you might have used it for on a kibbutz shon on the fire mash.
Are we saying you might have used the dafka? Like,
no, even if you even. Even if you,
for sure,
you go by the normal use.
In the teeth,
the leaves
now are there, so why would...
Aha, so, Yossi asked a good question. Sometimes we'll see there's another opinion. But this is the opinion we possibly like, maybe not Lameisa, but maybe Ikra did. What's the svara? Right, Yossi's asking an obvious question. Let me just make it more logically sharp. Right? let's say I have one kli, right? Here we have the Rov Rishonim and the Mechaber, right, who say, Azlinan Basar Rov Tashmish. But then you get this funny thing, Yossi says. What's the funny thing? Let's say you have two kelim, right? Thought experiment. Kli A and Kli B. What happened with Kli A? Kli A you use, and I'm going to make it like a really stark one. Kli A you use cold 100 times, right? And Kli Rishon twice. How do you kasher it? Kasher by washing cold. Just washing cold water and you kasher it. Right? Because Rov Tashmish is with cold. Right? How about Kli B? Kli B you only use in a Kli Rishon twice. How do you capture that? Hagalah, the Kli Rishon. Right? Yossi, you admit this is a very pointed way of asking your question? Right? Hold on. They both were used in a cleavership twice of the exact same bleels. One of them you just rinse in cold water. How about the mitzvah? That's as far as we do. And the other one needs hagala with cleavership. It doesn't make sense. They have the same bleels. And you can use the same for their own example. One plate, one thing you use for Eroy 100 times, and you put in a cleavishon once. The other, you just put in a cleavishon once. Why does the first one need Eroy and the second one need to go in a cleavishon? It doesn't make logical sense. That's Yossi's taina, right? So what's the svara of Rav Tashmisho? It doesn't seem to make physical sense in terms of the amount of bleels. So what's the svara for Rav Tashmisho, Simon?
You're also going to use it for Rav Tashmisho.
What?
You're also going to use it according to Rav Tashmisho?
Maybe. Meaning you're saying this thing you'll only use for cold, so it's not a big deal. But there's no tonight like that. It doesn't say, and therefore you must. So I think you have to add something else. There are two svaras to this. One svara is, I think, the most poshest svara, but that's based on the one that we had on the board last time, or 2 years ago, whatever. Right? What's the svara? One is, remember we had Akira? Is the reason Kasher Kalim just been see us to get out the bleels? Or is it Xeris HaKosav of Kasher and Kalim and the bleels are only a luckily significant because of Xeris HaKosav? If you take Lissi Sad HaKakira Dehekshar Kalim of Xeris HaKosav, right, if you say, it's not that you have to remove the bleels. No, the bleels are not really important. It's just that the Torah was going to get the Kasher. And if the Torah goes, you have the kasher, then the bleels become significant. Then it's very nicha, because it's not about removing the bleels per se. It's a chalos in the kli.
Nicha. Dehudin dekli. Vehakli. Nikra. Achar. Rov tashmisho.
If you take the mechudish derech that I said in the chakira, and I think this is the best right for that mechudish derech, even though this is not the conventional way to explain this. I admit it's a chodesh. You say that it's not that males there are bleels, so you have to get rid of the bleels. Then why? What difference is there between kli A and kli B? No, the bleels don't matter halachically, except that the Torah told us you have to kasher kalim. That's what makes it matter. Okay, so what did the Torah say? You have to kasher every kli the way it's used. In Torah, we go by rove. So if someone's usually used cold, then the Torah said you have to rinse the cold water. It's those bleels, you don't care. The Torah didn't say you have to do a gala. If it was usually used in the Kli Rishon, then the Torah said you have to do a gala of a Kli Rishon. And therefore those are significant, right? What we're saying is that there is, the Torah said, the Torah was told there to kasher Kli in accordance with its main usage. Again, because it's not a din getting rid of the bleos. The bleos come secondarily. The bleos are only usher because the Torah told you to kasher. It's a din in the kli. And the kli is nikva by Rov Tashmisho. Same as, right? If a dove sat on my toolbox, you wouldn't make it tummy. You wouldn't call it a mishkav. Because even though right now he's sitting on it, but its main use is for carrying tools, not for sitting. Likewise, if I take things that's used for cold food and stick it once or twice into a kli show, you wouldn't say it's a kli asher yovo ba'ish. It's not a kli which is meant to be used in hot. The kli meant to be used in cold, it's really kli asher lo yovo ba'ish. I use it once or twice, but it doesn't change the getter of the kli. And the kashering goes by the getter of the kli. That's when you take a formal approach to kashering. What if you take the more conventional side of the kakira? What's the second option for the svara? The second option for the svara is found before Shem Shut Rasva. That's quoted, not by me, maybe not by Moshe Kelim on the Daf, but the Beit Yosef refers to it. The Shut Rasva gives a different hesber, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah passes. The Shut Rasva says he makes no kibda. He says we only follow Rov Tashmisho in a kli she'eino ben yomo. This is not, it's not a real din to follow Rov Tashmisho mido raisa. It's only a kli she'eino ben yomo, because we know mido raisa, do you have the kasher kli she'eino ben yomo? The salam? Mido raisa, do you have the kasher kli? No, because even if it gives taste into your food, it'll be time with God. It's only mido rabbana, do you have the kasher kli she'eino ben yomo? Ah, mido rabbana, you have the kasher kli she'eino ben yomo. Why? As a gzeira. Okay, in Xera, they were only gozer on the most common usage. They weren't gozer on the less common usage.
Contrary. Lisha Aino Ben Yomo is only a Xera Durabanan. They were only gozer on the most common usage of the kli. This is the principle in Xera Durabanan. They were only worried about the most common cases, not the less common cases.
So, these are the two approaches. Either you say it's alpi lumdus, because the Chiddush way of looking at Hesher Kalim, that did exert a custom on the Kli, and not a practical way to remove the Blios, or you say no, it's not practically removing the Blios, and really, of course, it doesn't make sense to follow Rav Tashmisho. But, you're dealing here with the Din D'Rabbanan of Eino Ben Yomo, and in the Din D'Rabbanan, they weren't so much, but then they said, we'll cover most of the cases, and that's good enough. Just one second. We see that Mr. Brewer takes the second approach, because it's not only Mr. Brewer, I'm just skipping to Mr. Brewer, because the Mr. Brewer says over here that in Zivkatan and Vav and other places that this you only use this kula if it's Eino Ben Yomo. This is the Hakras of Mr. Brewer. Zivkatan and Vav and a few other Zivkatans that Azlina and Basar Rove Tashmisho Rak the Kli She'eino Ben Yomo. But if it's Ben Yomo, then you can't use this Kula.
Even according to this Rashba, Lamurva, you should be able to not, even if it's Ben Yomo, because if Rove Tashmisho was not for this, so then chances are in the day the Tashmishes were...
Right, so the Mishnah says that if it depends if it's Ben Yomo from the higher level Shemesh.
And if you don't know, you don't need to worry.
Could be. Could very well be. Usually you know. But could be.
And you said that the Shkut Rashba is not brought down in typical...
No, I said it's referred to in the Beis Yosef, just not on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. Not on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's in the Beis Yosef. The Ayin doesn't quote the whole text, but he quotes the Shtrip Rashba. Okay, so these are two ways of understanding the Pesachim Machaber. Do we follow the Pesachim Machaber? Not so possible. Because Rove Rishonim, the Machaber, said Azina Basar Rove Tashmisho. But Tosos and Avon Sefer Hazar, both on Ayin Dalar and Beis, and on Ayin Vavam and Beis, at least the Rivan Ayin Vavam and Beis, could be Rabbi and Tom also, depending on how you interpret him. Tosos, in quite a few places, and a few other Ashkenazic Rishonim say that, nope, Azlinan as Basar Miyot Tashmisho. No, we follow even the minority Shemush. Whatever Shemush was the hottest Shemush, that's how you have to kosher it. Oh, how can the Mishnah say if you bought a kli from a guy, you kosher it, that was used? The Mishnah means if you happen to know that the guy, what the guy did with it every day of his whole life. If you know, let's say you buy a glass from a guy and you know he never put anything on it, then you kosher it by rinsing it. But if you don't know, then you have to kosher everything in a kli bishon.
How do you trust the guy?
I don't know. You don't trust the guy. You just have to know somehow. I don't know. That's the dachan part of Tosfos. How do you know? Okay. So you follow. So meaning, if it was once used in a very hot way, then you have to be masver to kosher in that hot way. Let us read on then in the Ramah. Hagav v'yesh machmir in the Hagavakar spikli bishon. Some people are machmir to kasher plates in a kli rishon. Why are they machmir to kasher plates in a kli rishon? The Taz here says something strange. He says, because otherwise it's complicated, because it's hard for people to keep track of the difference in rove and miyot tashmisho and know what was used when. So just to simplify things, we kasher everything in a kli rishon. But all the other achronim assume no. There are among them, like Tosos. Why do you kasher plates in a kli rishon? Not to simplify things, but because according to Tosos, you have to kosher plates in the Kli Rishon. Because you, over a whole year, you once put your plate on a pot. Everyone once puts things in the Kli Rishon. Even if you have like a teaspoon, you once put your teaspoon in a Kli Rishon. Everyone puts something in a Kli Rishon once. And therefore, according to Tosos, make or a thing, you have to kosher it. And that's the accepted shot in the Rambah. And likewise, everything that you might have once put in a Kli Rishon, Kli Rishon Kapos, like spoons, because Tzoma Lazeh, basically anything you might have ever put in a Kli Rishon, you have to kasher in a Kli Rishon, because we follow even Miyo Tashmisho. V'yesh machmirem lahagel kol plishtia afish nashmish b'tzomushin shol fa'amim misham shemachayach. And likewise, there are those who are machmer to kasher all the drinking glasses, even though you only drink cold, because sometimes you put in hot. V'chein wa'minag lagilon. And that's the minag. The minag is that we kasher everything in a Kli Rishon, because you might have once put in a Kli Rishon, and we machmer even for the one-time shemush. However, concludes the machaber, u'bidi eved sagilu b'shtifa. But b'di'eved, if you just rinse in cold water your drinking glasses, that is good enough. And why is that? So, explain the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Min Zayin, because b'di'eved we're so make on Rov Tashmisho. B'di'eved we're so make on Rov Tashmisho on the Mechaber. Even Ashkenazim, whole like the Mechaber, b'di'eved, we only hold like the Ramaz, only Machmir, Lechatzila. Sorry. Continuing. Actually, before we... Okay. So, what's the Pesach of the Ramah? Says the Ramah. Lechatzila yatekasher, even according to Mia Tashmisho. And even if you're not sure, just because maybe, right? Va'afilo im yeshash sheshimesh bo pam achas bikli rishon sare kagala bikli rishon. Right? Even if you're not sure that you use it once in a Kli Rishon. Anything you might have once used in a Kli Rishon, you have to kasher in a Kli Rishon. That is the Pesach of Ramah l'chatchila. Because it might have once been in a Kli Rishon. So let's say you want to kasher your teaspoons for Pesach. What are your teaspoons? Just put them in a Kli Sheni, right? Put them in your bowls and cups, so it should be enough to kasher them in a Kli Sheni. No, because once you might have stuck your teaspoon into a pot of oatmeal, you might have once done that, or if not you, your kid might have once done that. And therefore, it might have once got stuck into a Kli Rishon, you have to kasher it according to the Kli Rishon, and that's the minhag of Ashkenazim. Might be the minhag of Sfardim also, just because it's simpler, that we kasher everything in the Kli Rishon. And that way, we're covering the Mi'at HaShlishon. However, Bidi Eved, if you kasher the Hirov HaShlishon, that's good enough. So let's say you go to someone's house, and they kasher their teaspoons in a Kli Sheni. I know that's not likely to happen. But because they said, well, I only put them in a Kli Sheni. So they only kasher their teaspoons in a Kli Sheni, and they, you know, made food with it on Pesach, then yeah, but all the food's kosher. Because they kasher it with the Rov Tashmisho. And that is good enough. Or so too, in any other case, if they kasher it the way it was usually used, then b'di'eved it doesn't trace off the food.
We not require hechsher because of the marashal. You
probably
put a
dover
gush on the plate at some point.
What about the fact that you put a dover gush on the plate at some point? That is a good question. We'll get to that soon. The Ramah clearly isn't worried about that. The Ramah is the opponent of the marashal on this issue. But we'll get to that soon. That will be very controversial. The Mishnah Berurah tackle will be machmir on that. Although you could, you wonder, some things you usually put a dover gush, some might not usually, twice you usually put a dover gush. Okay, good point. Although, not, do you use it? At least pretty usually. Okay, so that's a good point. We'll come back to that, although maybe not today. Okay, so that is the halacha l'maisa. Now, here, I just want to do one other issue, which is discussed in many of the Nosei Kalim, mostly earlier in Sif Gimel and the Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat Men Tes. Let's take the following case. Right? Case one. Rov Tashmisho Tzomei Miyot Bekli Rishon. That's very easy what the Pesach is. What would the Sfardim do? What does the Mechaber say? How do you have to kasher it? Exactly. Shtifa b'tzomi. Washing in cold water. And what does our Ramah say?
B'kli rishon.
Hagalah b'kli rishon. Pretty simple. Case two, which is also simple. That's also not interesting. Rov tashmisho al yidei iroi and miyot in a kli rishon. So we already know. The Ramah already told us that, right? The Machadra would say just do iroi on it. And the Ramah would say, Hagalah, big Kli Rishon. Here's the interesting case. Ro Tashmisho Al Yidei Chamin, cooking with hot water. Miyo Tashmisho Al Yidei Ha'or, baking or broiling, right? Let's say you have a case like this. You usually use it for cooking, but sometimes you use it for baking. Right? Not the craziest case ever. What would the din be? So for the machaber and shmita, you need hagalah, because you go by the usual use of the economy. How about the Ramah? Here it gets a little tricky. What might you think for the Ramah? What might you think for the Ramah?
You need
libun. You need libun. Do you want me to touch me? That's the psak of the Mishnah Brura in Sivkat and Menchet. And he's quoting the Prima Gadim, at least in one case, though it's not so clear there. What kind of libun would you need? Real libun or libun kal?
Real.
No, libun kal. You know why?
Yes.
Because we're only machmir to go miyotash misha. Remember, b'di eved, we're not machmir. Right? It's only a chumr l'cheshkin that follow rov tashmisho. So how about the Sidra Ramah? We'll see the different opinions. One opinion is the opinion of the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat Memchet. Liban kal, liban because you follow miyotash tashmisho. But since we don't really think Tosos are right. We really popped into the other like Rov Rishon, and we're only Machmir L'Chachila, so it's only a Chumrah to follow Miyot Tashmisho. Since it's only a Chumrah, then even Kal is good enough.
Could you be able to do a Kagal
with Pesach? What?
Could you do a Kagal with Pesach? Couldn't that be better also with the fact that it's a parabola, because those sheets are all in parabola?
So suggest, Yossi. No, maybe Hagolah would be good enough. Why? Because you have two Tzadim L'Hakel. A, if you follow Rov Tashmisho, you only need Hagolah. And B, which is a Tzadim L'Hakel you didn't have in Roman numeral 1 and 2, if, according to Rishonim, that says Chamit Zatira Bala, whenever you need Liban, you only need Hagolah. So how about putting those two Tzadim together? So the truth is, many Achronim did put those two Tzadim together. As a matter of fact, Mr. Brewer earlier, Simon, he couldn't have meant it literally, seemed to put those two things together. So for example, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sif Gimel said, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sif Gimel and the Machzah Shekel in Sif Gimel, said you only need Hagalah. Why? Seiros of Manda Omar Rov Tashmisho Umanda Omar Dechameit Nikra Hetera Bala. This is exactly what you meant, right, Yossi? Okay, maybe you should need Havala. Maybe over here, two Tzadim L'Hakel, you can make it even the Chachila. Not so crazy. I would have thought that if Mishra hadn't come here and said otherwise. However, and what's the Raya? The Raya is a nice neat Havala. Don't you sometimes put a knife on the grill? So why shouldn't a knife need libun for Ashkenazim? Because you sometimes put it on the grill. What's their proof? Sakin. Tar Hagolet. And that's before Shemar. You know the way it's about. The Gemara says to Hagolet with Sakin. Maybe once you put it on the grill. On the grill ones, right? Sometimes you might like cut a bread in the oven or like take bread off the oven with a knife. So you might put not the grill here, here's a mechamit, more the oven is more of a problem. So we see that we don't worry about me and Misha to require a liban. By the way, someone came with a chumra a few years ago. What did they say? They said all your silverware, you should really have to liban kal. Because sometimes you put your silverware and you use it to like touch something that's baking in the oven. Sometimes when you're baking bread, you might like stick the knife to get the bread out. Or you might stick a fork into it. Or when you're like toasting like a bun on the grill, you might use a knife or fork to take it off. Therefore, once you put it on the grill, and therefore you should need liban, like this Mishnah Berurah. What's the Mishnah Berurah going to say back to the, what's the Mishnah Berurah going to say back to answer this question about the sakin? How's he gonna, how does he say something that was once used on the grill needs liban kal? Doesn't he know a knife only needs hagala? So there are two answers. The Magen Avraham says something radical. What do you answer this? There's two answers. Says the Magen Avraham in Sifkat Nivav, something very radical. En achanami, sakin, boy liban kal. You're right. A knife needs liban kal. That's the, what does he say? Hayatak insert liban to lefam and chokim rosh and atiras pas lefos eitz la'esh. Chokim rosh, sometimes you stick bread on it and roast it. Lefam and chokim rosh pashtido pinkuch and la'esh. And sometimes you cut the pie on the fire. You know, sometimes you cut the pizza on the fire with a knife. And therefore, it needs liban kal. Okay, this is a little difficult. This is against the Gemara. Unless you have to say, no, something changed since the time of the Gemara. But no one agrees with this. No one possibly like this Magen Avraham, because then he's against the Gemara. He'll have to say, historically, the way we use knives changed. But it's very difficult. So, look, or what do you have to say? No, Mishnah Berurah Atmo, the Mishnah Berurah himself, says, and this is how we paskin. No. Masakin, sagi hagala. Hagala is good enough for a knife. But why is hagala good enough for a knife? Here the Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain. And I think you have to say one of two things. What is one of two things you have to say? And by the way, what do you have to say? You have to say one of these two things. I think that happens to think the second one is right. Either you can say Aleph, Kimlon, De'eno Mishamesh, Bisakin, Al Ha'or Klal. We know you never, Chametz, you never use a knife for bread on the fire. On a fire. We know it never ever happens. But it's a little dachuk. Because how do you know? The Magen Avraham says you might do that sometimes. I don't know. You never saw someone take a knife and stick a bun on the grill and take it off?
Send it up for cake to see if they're ready.
Yeah, you stick a knife in the cake to see if it's ready. So I think that's a little dachuk. So Nirlin Yizdaiti is something which no one says here, but I think it's true. There's an Elio Rabba later, we'll see. Kach Nirlin Yizdaiti. We pass like this, Mr. Berurah, and I'll bring your proof that we pass in like, that we don't pass in this way. Because after all, when people, you never stick your fork or knife into a cake. Sometimes you do, right? On the fire. So why don't we have to leave them cow for a fork and knife?
It's official at that point because the cake is like liquidy.
Not when you stick your fork and knife into it.
Here.
So I think there's a difference, Vara. Nirlan is daiti, as even though so much room. Nirlan is daiti, LP, is not going to totally address the the objection of the Magen Avraham, but I think it might help go part of the way to address the objection of the Magen Avraham. The Elio Rabba and Arsudya, if you want, I will tell you the Sifkat number, and then you will decide if you like my Svara or don't like my Svara, and I won't be insulted either way. It is Elio Rabba Sifkat Lamentes.
What does he say? He says, you know what kind of things you can leave on?
What kind of things need liban? Things that you use for roasting or grilling or baking and you leave on the fire for a long time. Like like a pan or a spit or a grill, but a knife you just use to like cut it or to take something off, or a fork you just use to get to something for 1 minute, that doesn't need to be fun. It doesn't really get so hot even though it's used for grilling.
Right, if you take your spatula and you like flip your burger on the grill, I know that's not common opinion, although some burgers are common, right, you put it in flour, that doesn't need leaf on, because it didn't stay on the grill, it was just used for 1 second. And then I think you could say, you know why we're making on knives? We're making on knives because, unlike the days among Abraham, we don't use our knives to like a spit to hold our bread over the fire. You might put your knife in the baking bread once, but you wouldn't leave it there, and so too with silverware. You would never leave your silverware over a roasting fire. You might put it for 1 second, but you wouldn't leave it there. So why don't we do leave and call to our silverware? Because our silverware is like the knife, not like the mountain of bread, Mishabur says in the Inns of Cotton Memphis. Nirolini is daiti, that it could be that we're mitzareis, not that we pop like the Elio Rabba. We're mitzareis the Elio Rabba, alpi. We're mitzareis the Elio Rabba, and now we have three tzadim lahakel. And that's what I want to claim. What I want to claim is that with two tzadim lahakel, we're machmir l'chatziba. So what do I want to claim? Let's just make myself a little island here. If you have two tzadim, which is rov tashmisho and hetera bola, then we're still machmir l'chatziba to require liban kal. But if you have three tzadim, maybe this is Chan, Rome Tashmisho. Because I want to explain why we don't do leave and call to our silverware. I saw someone a few years ago says, why don't we do leave and call to our silverware? We should in a newcomer. But I don't like newcomers. Ete Rabbala plus the idea that Tashmish Al Ha'esh. What's his Lashon? Should have written down his Lashon. Of the Elio Rabba. What does he say? I'll read it to you. He says, She'eno Shohe Ba'or. Anyone see the... What's the third one? Dover She'eno Shohe Al Ha'or. Something you don't keep on the fire a long time doesn't require liban. Then we're mekilin even lechatzila to do hagala as opposed to liban kal. That is what I want to claim is our minhag. If someone says, I'm kashering my silverware, and you say, did you once stick your fork into a cake or stick your knife into a cake on the fire? Yes, I did. Still hagala is good enough. So you have three tzadim lahakel. Number one, Elio Rabba. If you stick it in for 1 minute, that's not called Tashmish Elio Or. That doesn't need Liban. Number two, maybe it comes to Terabola, and you never need Liban. And number three, you usually use it on your plate. So you shouldn't need, even for a double gush, you only need Hagala, not Liban. It's not on the fire. So that's what I want to claim is our Minag Halacha L'maisa. So we are Makhla like the Mishnah Berurah. Sometimes you use sometimes for roasting or baking. Let's say you have a pot. And once in a while, you bake bread in the pot, even though it's a weird thing to do. Then it would need liban. Because once in a while, you use it for baking. We don't rely on chasfila on rov tashmisho plus a terabola. But if you have a knife or a fork or something that you only stick in briefly on top of the grill, then we're for sure making it. So we have three stuff. Any questions?
Does it make a difference, like, with the cake
Roasting
usually? Don't roasting
Okay, so I'm saying theoretically you did. I don't know. Anyone here bake cakes? Who bakes cakes here? Raise your hand. Okay, do you stick something into the cake in the oven? Okay, we see some people do. Okay. I have no idea. I don't bake cakes.
Theoretically, it's out of the oven.
Yeah, once it's out of the oven, you don't need leave on. Anything you use for something that's off the grill or out of the oven, you don't need leave on. So like if you cut bread as soon as it comes out of the oven, you need Hagalah for the night because it's used for hot. But you don't need, leave it if it's on the fire. Okay, Viter, let's continue in this Shulchan Aruch, in this Ramah, Kofav. Then he says something else. He says, what if you need Hagalah of a Kli Rishon, but you can't fit it into a Kli Rishon? Says the Ramah here, Uka'oros Kedol Shal Yuchel Lahachna Zatok Kli Rishon. What about a big plate that you can't fit in a Kli Rishon? How do you kasher it? the famous Evan Maluvan, a white hot stone. You make a stone white hot, and then what do? The Yeralim Roshan Kli Rishon, you pour Eroy Kli Rishon. The Habi Kli Rishon, Vichain Kofinus, and likewise in all similar cases. The Avar Evan Al Kola Kli Shon, Magal Kulo. What they did Evan Maluvan, it turns Eroy into as if it's inside a Kli Rishon. Why? Because Eroy, the water cools off a little while you're pouring it. But if you put a white hot stone, and then you pour the water, that's what I'm saying. Either you pour the water on the white hot stone and it drips onto the kli, or you pour the water on the kli, but it's right near the white hot stone. The white hot stone reboils the water, so that even though you poured it out of the kli, you show it's been in a kli, you show. So the heat of the white hot stone is like a fire. And how do you do an Evan Maluvan? It's very hard. You have to like pour and move the Evan Maluvan on each inch of the kli, so that each inch of the kli gets poured with hot water that was right next to an Evan Maluvan. That makes it into a kli rishon. Here, we have a big machlokas. The Mishnah Brewer brings down, and the Magen Avraham discusses here, a machlokas. Does Evan Maluvan really count as a kli rishon? Or not? Does Evan Maluvan really equal a kli rishon? Or not? So here, the Magen Avraham possibly quotes from the Bach, and the Mishnah Brewer later on quotes from the Pri-Chadosh also. Evan Maluvan doesn't really count as a Kli Rishon. It sounds from the Ramah like it really counts. Let me just... who can take a picture of the board? Who knows how to take pictures? Yes. Yes. Or we'll see another Nafkamina in a moment. Okay. Another Nafkamina in a moment. Evan Maluvan. Evan Maluvan. Here we have our good friend the Evan Maluvan. Pashtas Grandma. Sounds like it's Kli Rishon Mamish. It Mamish sounds like a Kli Rishon. However, the Bach and others say no. It's not Vadai. What's the Nafkamina? So the Nafkamina could be, as Yaakov pointed out, right? Now, it's not such a Nafkamina because anything that couldn't fit with Kli Rishon, it's just a lot more convenient to put in the Kli Rishon than do an Evan Maluvan. So no one would want to do an Evan Maluvan, so it's more of a theoretical Nafkamina. But here's the Nafkamina. Nafkamina is, what about Dovar Sherotashmisho? Kli Rishon. So he was usually using the Kli Rishon. That means Kashin and Kli Rishon Ikra did. Here you would say that Yachol Lehagilo Al Yedei Evan Maluvan. Because Evan Maluvan counts like a Kli Rishon. But says the Bach, no. E Eshar Lehagilo Al Yedei Evan Maluvan. Evan Maluvan Sagi Rach Lidovar Shemachmirim Lehatricho Hagol of the Kli Rishon. The Lo Lidovar Hatsarech Hagol of the Kli Rishon Me Ikra Din. That is the Machlokas in the Bach and the Pashas Ramah. The Ramah sounds like Evan Maluvan counts with Kli Rishon Legamri. So even some who seem Kli Rishon Me'ikra did. Like a pot. You could kasha with Evan Maluvan if it was convenient for you. However, says the Bach, no, Evan Maluvan is only a suffix with a count like a Kli Rishon. It's not a Vadai. Therefore, for something that was meos at the time put in a Kli Rishon, it's only a chumra l'chachila do I go in a Kli Rishon, Evan Maluvan is good enough. But for something made Ikra that needs a Kli Rishon, Evan Maluvan is not good enough. Haskins, the Mishnah Berurah, like the Bach, in the Katan something, Nun Aleph, he Haskins like the Bach, that Evan Maluvan only helps for something that you're not sure if it needs to be in a Kli Rishon or not, but something that you're sure needs to be in a Kli Rishon, Evan Maluvan's not good enough. He also points out, here, quoting the Magen Avraham, a little later, that if something is not flat, has a lot of things sticking out back and forth, then you can't use the Evan Maluvan, because the Evan Maluvan has to be right near the kli. So if it has like a lot of decorations sticking out, then you can't get the Evan Maluban right next to the cleat. You have to keep it far away from the cleat to not break the decoration, and that is no good. What about a cleat that needs kasher in klivisha medina and doesn't fit in klivisha? Nothing, you're stuck. You're stuck. Yes, do liban. I mean, if it can withstand liban. Okay, Weiser, Sif Zayin. Sif Zayin we already learned. So Weiser, Sif Ches. This was the very beginning of Simon Kuf Chaf Halv in your day also. We analyzed, remember, the three Rei Machlokes. I think I might have said wrong. I think I might have said there were two Deos in the Torah in your day and two in the Torah in Or Chaim. Actually, all three Deos in the Torah Or Chaim, and we already analyzed that. I'm not going to repeat it. As the Ramah B'chein Kli Etzem Tzrich Magala. Basically, anything not mentioned in Shas, you can kasher. Cheres is not kasherable. Everything else is kasherable. What's another example? The Bir Halacha says that basically here we have, right, not kasherable is cheres. On the kasherable list, the Gemara has, the Chumash has Matachas, the Gemara has eight, and remember we passed in life the Rif and Mos Rishonim, and then Ramah adds Etzem, bone, the Bir Halacha, add glulin, dung, kelim made out of dung. Okay, sounds a little gross to us, but that's life. I hope they cooked the dung hot enough to kill all the bacteria. I would assume they did. And the later Rachonim also add what's called kli adama, because kli evan, kli glulin, and kli adama are always put together in halacha. Interestingly, kli adama means, is this all the things that kli cheres. That's like the chiddush de Rachonim to treat it differently. In Tumah V'Tahara, it's treated differently. Kli Cheres can become Tamei, very Tamei, and can't be tahored in a become tahored in a mikvah. Kli Adama and Kli Glolim and Kli Avonim don't become Tamei. What is Kli Adama? It's made out of mud, but it's not forged in a furnace. So it's not a Kli Cheres.
So dry?
Yeah, just dried mud. I'm not quite sure how good quality they were, but that's what the later Rishonim say. Now, here, what's interesting here is not anything it says here. What's interesting here is what it doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch. What it couldn't have said in the Shulchan Aruch. So, for example, what about plastic? It couldn't have said plastic. If you don't know why it couldn't have said plastic in the Shulchan Aruch, then you have a big problem. But what about plastic? So, most poskim say, what's the principle of the Shulchan Aruch? Principle is we postulate the rift. That Kli Evan's not mentioned in Shas. If it's not mentioned in Shas, it's like wood and metal is kashable. As Ramah, Etzem's also not mentioned in Shas. He doesn't even what we call bone china. What we call bone china is really cheres, that like they put a little bones into it. He means actual, like you carve bones. Not ivory. Ivory is a tusk, and that will melt if you do agola, right? So that we have a problem. But if you real animal bones won't melt in agola. And the later Achonim adds, basically what do the Achonim say? Any Kli mentioned anywhere in Jewish history to be kashered, and it's not like a kli cheres. So say most poskim, plastic is not like a kli cheres, only a kli cheres can't be kashered. So real poskim say it can be kashered. Remember, the Minchas Yitzchak was worried that it might melt, but that doesn't apply to our hard plastic nowadays. Almost all of the achronim say plastic can be kashered. Why? Because they're inspired by this whole history of everything in the world can be kashered, except for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, in Igris Moshe Chelik Beis and Tzach Beis, Igris Moshe Orachayim Chelik Beis Simin Tzach Beis, what does he say? He says, Yesh rubber she'enim a'etel n'sharos minim chimiyim. There's a kind of rubber that's not made from tree sap, but from chemicals. That's what we call plastic. She'dabar chadash sh'lonim tzavdir ha'kadmonim. Clearly, Dover Chadash, that's not found in the words of the Kadmonim. And Lahater Lahagilam. Should be Machmer. Why? Just because the Achronim and Rishonim assumed that everything in the world can be kashered, that was everything in their world. But they didn't know the things that we invented in our world. And therefore, maybe something that was invented, anything invented in the time of the Gemara, can be kashered. Because only Cheres can't be kashered. The Gemara didn't say anything else can't be kashered. That's what this whole pattern shows. The old Medayik Cheres, Eniyot Midofi Yodiolam, everything else can be kashered. So same old post, everything else can be kashered. Shkoyach. Says Rav Moshe, no, maybe that only meant things that existed in the Gemara. Anything that existed in the Gemara, sort of the question is, whose head are we putting ourselves in? Most poskim say, we're putting ourselves in Hashem's head. Hashem said Harris can't be kashered, everything else can. But Moshe says, no, but maybe we shouldn't put ourselves in Hashem's head. Put ourselves in Chazal's head. Chazal said Harris can't be kashered, everything else can. Everything else that exists in the days of Chazal. We don't know anything about plastic.
Why can't he be Medama and Dover and Dover and just like being a shire?
Because since we don't know how to be Medama, well, we have to be Machmir Misafik. So, here is what's the big debate. It's Rav Poskim versus Rav Moshe. In the Israeli modern Orthodox community, they follow Rav Poskim, Rav Haredi Poskim also. They follow Rav Poskim, and they kosher plastic. However, in America, and in the Israeli Haredi community, they're machmer for this Rav Moshe. The question is, what did Rav Moshe mean? And here it's hard to tell. There's mamish one line out of Rav Moshe, right? What did Rav Moshe mean? There are two ways to interpret Rav Moshe. Mipia Shmua, my Rebbeim heard from Rav Moshe, and if you read Rav Eider, do you know Rav Eider? Halacha the Pesach, like before, who's the new fellow?
Ribia.
Before Ribia, he, I'm not judging anyone, I'm just talking biographically, that when I was growing up, there were very few English halachas for him. Rabbi Eider was basically it. He had Hilchos Shabbos, he had Hilchos Pesach, he had Hilchos Nida. The only one people read was Hilchos Pesach for some reason. I have no idea why. But everyone read Hilchos Pesach. That was basically the only English halachas sefer around when I was a kid, pretty much. Was Rabbi Eider's Hilchos Pesach, then someone published a Muktzeh book that they still sell here, the English Muktzeh book. That was maybe the second ever English halachas sefer, I think. At least that was popularly used. Anyway, in here, if you're Medayik, he makes it very clear that he understood, and this is what I heard from Rabbi Willie has a Masorah like this, and someone pointed out, he's very clear in Rabbi Eider's book, that if you compare like what he says in his introduction about kashering to what he says about kashering for Pesach, he's very clear, Rav Moshe was only master on Pesach to the Chumrah de Pesach, not all year long. So here, there are two ways to understand Rav Moshe. It could be that Machmirim, Bechawashana, Kula, or it could be, no, this is the Mipia Shmua from Rav Moshe. Here is Stimas Lashono. The scheme of the Lashon of Rav Moshe in the Engros is that he's Machmer. He doesn't say when. However, in Mipia Shmua, this is very clear in Rabbi Eider's book that's written, but it's obviously not written by Rav Moshe. No, Machmirim Mishom Chumra de Pesach. Aval, the Kol Hashana Mekilim. No, we're made to on plastic if it's milk and meat, bebas b'chalav, or trace, because then there's no chumra to Pesach. He only meant to be machmer on Pesach, there's a chumra to Pesach. So that's really the question. Was this chumra of Moshe a very serious chumra? He was really choshes, like 50-50, something in din, he didn't know what to do, and therefore he's machmer all year long, which is what it sounds like, because he doesn't give any conditions. He doesn't discuss it very long. Or no, in Piyashua, he was machmer on Pesach, there's a chumra to Pesach, but all year long he's like, every normal, don't be so machmer. So, this is a big machlokes. There are some people who are machmer and plastic all across the board. Rav Moshe was machmer. Some people will say I'm machmer because Michos Yitzchak was machmer, although that doesn't really make any sense. He was machmer in the 50s when the plastic would melt. Nowadays, we have plastic that's made to be put in your chocolate. Some people are machmer, Rav Moshe was machmer all year long. Our Masorah is to be machmer on Pesach, the chumra on Pesach. But really, you can kosher plastic. And all your long are not machmer. And then most people say you can kosher plastic across the board. If someone wants to kosher plastic across the board, all your long are Pesach, then they have Rav Poskim to rely on. However, certainly our minhag in America and our yeshiva is like Rav Moshe and Mipia Shmua. So I have nothing bad to say about either of the other minhagim. Someone wants to be machmer all the time. Wonderful. You know, they have the right to be machmer all the time, even if I don't really think it's necessary. Some want to be make all year long. They're following Rav Poskim. Can't argue with following Rav Poskim. However, certainly our Masorah is from Rav Moshe. To be machmer is a chumrah on Pesach, and to be makel all year long. So I really think, even though a lot of people think you can never kosher plastic, But I don't think that's necessary for all year long. It's enough to be matzmir on Pesach. So.
Matzmir on Pesach, even in Israel?
Yes, because given that a lot of Israeli postgame are machmir all year long, so it's not like ridiculous to be machmir in Israel. Okay, but everyone, you know, follow, every minhag is valid here. Because Rav Moshe is really a chumrah, you know, if he was only machmir on Pesach, then clearly it's only like a chumrah bi'alma. You know, it wasn't a real suffix in din. Okay, the other big issue that comes up about what can be kashered, what can't, is let's talk about counters.
What are counters made of? Countertops. So there are rare countertops that are made of wood or metal. So wood or metal, we know you can kasher. Okay, but those are not found in houses generally. In America, most countertops are? Really?
Yeah.
When I made Aliyah in America, most counters were formica. Okay, anyway, okay. When I grew up, most counters in America were formica. What does formica mean? It means like this. This wood that's like covered with something that has a color. This happens to be a fake wood color. You know that's fake. It has nothing to do with the actual wood. Right? You can tell something's formica because, you see, like, it's like pressed wood on the inside. It's not solid wood. It's like processed wood on the inside, and then, like, they glue that on. So, like, if you have a closet in Israel, I don't remember in America. I think in America a lot of them are real wood. The doors to your closet are formica. It's like pressed wood inside, and it's like a color on the outside. Most counters, when I grew up in America, were formica. It was just like this, like, color. You know, usually not even fake wood color. It could be white or whatever color you like. Formica is a kind of plastic. This is plastic. So can you cash your counters? So that depends on what's in the counter. In America, we didn't cash our counters when I was growing up for Pesach because they were plastic. So you covered your counters. Some people kasher them to be machmir and then covered them. So they go into most posts and kasher them. So I'll kasher them just in case the cover rips or some hot thing gets beneath the cover, and then I'll cover them. But really covering them is enough. In Israel and in America now, it's caught on also. Most counters are some sort of granite, are like stone. Now there are two kinds of counters in Israel. How do you tell the difference between them? Either you can look at them if you're a maven, or whether you're allowed to put boiling hot pots on them. Right? The kind you're allowed to put boiling hot pots on is actual stone. Natural stone. Now, you might say, that doesn't look like stone. That's called shayish, or granite. You might say, that doesn't look like stone. It's some sparkly, fancy mix of colors. No, that's like real stone that's somewhere in the world. There's a mountain with stones like that inside. So real stone countertops are kli avonim. We know you can kasher kli avonim. I know the reason Pomki said what he said, and Rehaimo said what he said, but that was history 1,000 years ago. You know, since the Rif and the Rambam and everyone else said you can kasher a stone, and then the Chaver, there's no machlokes in kasher stone. So you can definitely kasher your stone counters if they're made of stone. However, there's another kind of counter, which, if I'm not mistaken, you can tell because it says don't put boiling hot things on them, so they'll get ruined, which is fake stone. It's called Caesar stone, or like there's a million other names for it. What is Caesar stone? It's made of crushed up stones glued together, not pure blocks of stone. That's called Eben Kesar, Caesar stone, or other things, other names as well. This is a tremendous machlokes b'poskim. Can you kasher Caesar stone counters, fake stone counters? Tremendous machlokes haposkim. I'm not going to get into all the shitos. If you want to look up the shitos, if you're looking at Piskei Tshuvos, it says Kutin Lamed Gimel here in the footnotes, he quotes all the acronym who talked about that. And he says there are two studim that they're machmer on this. Number one, they say maybe it's like a kli cheres, because stone is like dirt, and if you like grind up stone and mix it together, then that's like a kli cheres. Or they say, no, since you put in a lot of glue is like plastic, because it's a new thing that didn't used to exist in the old days, and you can't kasher it. So some are machmer, because they say when you mix stones and then put them together, that's like cheres, and they do bake them together. And some are machmer because the glue is a new material, and according to Rav Moshe, you can't kasher new materials. However, many are makel about this, and they say no. This is not a kli cheres. Kli cheres is when you take mud, made of dirt and water and baked into a hard thing. Here, there's no mud. You're just gluing together stones. And even though it's a little glue, since it's mostly stone, and the stones aren't, it's not like these terrace, the dirt totally changes and becomes mud and baked. Here, it's just, stones are just glued together. Then you heat it a little to get the glue to cast. It's stone. And since it's stone, that's okay. Even though there's some glue, it's mostly stones. We go by the stones. So of course, according to most poskim, you can kasher anything but terrace. So halacha lemaisa is the big machlokas. Those are makel. I saw a lot of the poskim in America are makel on this. Rebelski in the OU is makel on this, and CRC is makel on this. So I think that most poskim are makel on Caesar stone. So one can, it would be a proper zehiros and chumrah to be macher me'ikar din. Most poskim say you can kasher the Caesar stone counters. It would be a chumrah to be machmer on this. And this comes up a lot in Israel. If someone doesn't, they certainly rely on your own poskim. okay, we'll get to that, but let's assume for now, Ibrahim. Okay, continuing in test. Hamago kum shachamishas yoga lahagi liyachat klivishan klishen yukim shabal darmu b'yuchoshesh. The Taz says on this, yisbar b'simen tofna beis. I think the Mishnah Brura says the same thing. He says he's borrowed the comments from Tuffman Base, so we'll take their advice and save this for Tuffman Base. So if you had salam shemokum alabasar, the basket that you salt meat in, someone remind me why you would salt meat in a basket, Davka? Exactly. So if you salt meat in a tray or a bowl, then all the blood comes out and it soaks in its own blood, and then it becomes trash. Kashering only works if there's some place for the blood to drain. So you either have to have holes in your kli, or have a grated, slanted, that it falls off. I remember when I was married in TA, one of my talmidim served chickens and salt them in his dorm room. He didn't have a basket, so instead he just took the standard issue MTA dorm desk, put a book under one side of the desk to lift it up, and then it was slanted, and then all the blood went on the floor. That's also mutter. It can be slanted. It doesn't have to have a hole in it. But the more normal way to do it is you use a kli with a hole in the bottom, and then you put it someplace, not an MTA dorm room, you put it someplace where, like, all the blood that drips out either goes down the drain or gets absorbed in the dirt or something. So basket is the most convenient way, because you can fit a lot of things in a basket very easily, and the basket's full of holes, right? So what about the baskets you salt meat in? It's a three-way machlokas, two of which are found in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesh matzrichlim hagolav, yesh mishacholik. Some people say you need hagolav, and some people say you don't. V'nir and Dvarav, says the Mechaber, I agree with the Shita that you don't need. Svaradur and his Machaber is Ashkenazim. And says, Rav, a tov lagila l'lichas chashim. No, it's proper. Again, proper means v'chachila. Not that it would make your food chametz thick if you didn't do it. But it's proper to do hagolav or buy new baskets. He's Machaber like the first opinion. Who are these opinions? The three opinions, I know only two make it into the Shulchan Aruch, are the Sefer Truma and the Ravya. So let's just see these baskets. The Sefer Truma and the Ravya. When it comes to the Salim, the Sefer HaTruma says there's no problem. They're just in the cover. Says the Rav Yah, you need Hagalah. Why does Rav Yah say you need Hagalah? Because you weren't careful all year long. We have a principle in Hilchos Pesach. If you weren't careful all year long, your freedom might be chametz thick, even if you don't know specifically that it became chametz thick. So, what weren't you careful with all year long? Well, the salt you used for the meat. Are you careful not to get chametz in your salt bucket? No, because you use your salt bucket to take salt during your meal, and for all kinds of things, you're not careful that chametz doesn't fall in there. Maybe chametz fell in the salt, and they salted the meat, and there was chametz in the salt, and you got some chametz into your basket, so you need hagalah. Maybe. And, excuse me, sorry. Why? Ulai. No bal sham chametz v'nivla b'sal. How to get nivla? If you use a cold, because malicha. Okay, what is the svara of the Sefer Truma? Sefer Truma has, really, you could say two svaras.
Number one, lo machzikinan isura. Remember we discussed this? You don't assume an isur happened.
You don't assume an isur happened. What do you mean, maybe some chametz will in there? Maybe not. Right?
And number two, how much chametz can be in there?
You didn't drop a loaf of bread into your salt and put it in your meat basket, right? We're talking about crumbs.
One crumb would be butthole when you salted your meat. Now here it gets a little tricky. Is it butthole? Is it not butthole? But this opus, you know, or hey, rur chametz, one crumb of chametz is butthole of the shishim.
So maybe it got butthole as soon as you started salting. There it gets a little tricky. Maybe it was someplace where it was right next to the solid salt, etc. But okay. Halacha l'maisa. How do we pass? Well, and then there's a third opinion. Third opinion is the Maharil, quoted in the Taz. Says the Maharil, Aser v'lo mehani hagola. It's Aser and even hagola doesn't help. Why doesn't hagola help? Because
ulai nafal sham heyur chameis ve nidbach the, what's his lashon here? Okay, whatever. Peyru chametz. Be'en. The kosher l'nakoso.
Maybe a speck of a crumb of chametz fell there, and it's be'en, and it got into the holes of the weave. And you think you can clean out like the holes in the weave of the basket? That's ridiculous. Impossible to clean out the basket. So he's kosher. He's not for a bliyas chametz. Chametz got stuck there be'en, and if chametz is there be'en, hagol is not going to help. And you get the el, just clean it out. You can't clean out a basket. Every inch is like woven behind something else. It's impossible to clean. Okay, how do we paskin on this? So, how do we paskin on this? And then I'll take questions. The,
the machaber paskin l'kula. The Ramah says, l'kachila, we should do Hagala, and the Eved, if you use it without Hagala, it doesn't make your food chametz stick. The Eved, we're so much on the Mechaber, says the Mishabur. You know why we don't worry about this Maharil? The Taz was worried about the Maharil. The Taz, we don't have one, the Taz. We paskin like the Ramah. The Taz worried about the Maharil, but you know what the Mishabur says? No, no, no.
I know, we don't be Choshish so far. We don't even know there was chametz there in the first place. It's enough to be Choshish and do Hagala. We don't have to be Choshish there's a crumb to end and that you can't kashrut it at all if we never knew there was any chametz there in the first place. The Mishabur says, I admit, if you had a basket you used for cake, it would be Asur L'gamrei, because you're saying there's chametz in the cracks, and how are you going to get the chametz out of the cracks? But here, we just there might have fallen chametz. We're not so much that maybe chametz fell there and it's still the end and you can't use it all on Pesach. That far we don't go. Okay, question. By the way, this is big halacha l'maisa. Why? Because this establishes a principle that undergirds a lot of our halacha Pesach l'maisa. What's the principle of the Ramah here? Certainly l'chachila. Not that it'll make your food chametz thick if you didn't do it. But l'chachila, the Ramah means, the Ramah saying, any place where chametz might have fallen accidentally because you never know, we treat as chametz thick. And that's why we're mafron so many things, right? Everyone says, oh, if you opened a can of whatever that's not chametz thick, but you had it in your kitchen, you can't use it on Pesach, maybe your crumb fell in. Exactly, maybe your crumb fell in. If you have a kli that you don't actually put chametz in, you still have to kasher for Pesach, because you never know chametz might have fallen there. That's the principle of this Ramah. Even if you don't think you put meat and salt in it, which are not chametz thick, you don't think you ever put chametz in this kli, but since it was around your kitchen all year long, we treat it as chametz thick and you have to kasher it. That's the principle of this Ramah. We don't go so far as to say that it's usher and impossible to kasher. No, that far we don't go. But we say you have to kasher, and that's the principle for all of Hilchos Pesach. Anything that might have gotten chametz in it, even if you don't remember ever putting chametz in, you never purposely put chametz, if it might have, if it was around, then you have to kasher it for Pesach. That's the basic rule of contemporary Pesach.
Then why wouldn't just cleaning it be enough? Why wouldn't the God?
Because maybe it, oh, well, this is used for salting. So you're right, it depends. If it was only used cold, then you'd have to clean it. If it was used hot or salting,
it sounds like Vermont's assuming that it was just in the kitchen and something might have touched it.
No, but this is the basket used for salting. So whoever was in there got Malia Krotev. Correct. So you're right. If it's a, you know, your soda stream is in your kitchen, then you never use it for Malicha or for Roteach. It's in your kitchen, so you have to scrub it very well in case any tummy flames there. But if it's something which gets hot or salting, then you even have to kosher it. Okay, good point. Yudal, machma shemetagnim ba. We already discussed this. Remember the contrast in Kufchaf al Yordan and Or Chaim in terms of how you kosher frying pan. Machma shemetagnim ba. The frying pan, returns by Gola. Hagola is good enough. The Miyaruka. Hagola, yeah. Yes. Like when they originally fall in all your lawn.
But usually it's
not on Pesach, but yes, before Pesach. Machmash and Matagnaba. Remember we saw a big machlokas to be shown him about machmas. We won't review it all now. Let's just see what the halacha machmas is. Says the machaber hagala. In Yoredea, he paskin like the Manda Amar Liban. He said either that because here he's Mitzari, the sheet of a Terabala, or because here he knew that the oil itself was never fine today. In any case, paskin the Machaber, Machash, Matagno, Mataris, Bagola. Now here's the problem. Frying pans are often big. You can't necessarily fit them in your pot, so how do you do Agola? Via Ruka, what if it's too long? Mesim Chetzia, Vahope, Ode, Mesim Chetzia, Ha'akir. Let's say it's 1.9 times as big as fits in your pot. No problem. Put in half of it, flip it over, put in the other half. Unlike tefillah kelim, which you have to do all at once or nothing, and tefillah people all at once or nothing, when it comes to Haggadah, you can do it half at a time. So fine, you do one half, you flip it over to the other half. No problem. What if it's more than twice as big as the inside of your biggest pot? Maybe Aruka B'Yoser. What if it's so big that even when you put it inside and flip it and put it inside, the middle still didn't get Haggadah? Then the last of them end, so you can do leave one in the middle. You're allowed to combine leave one, do leave one for the part that doesn't fit in the pot, and have all for the part that does fit in the pot, and that's good enough. And as their mug, leave one calls them shakash nisra loves takile. And leave one kal is good enough. Why? Because the reason is leave one for the middle is because it really needs hagala, but you can't fit in your pot. So remember, leave one kal counts as a substitute for hagala. Okay, so far is just, you know, fleshing out the practical details of the shita of the mechaber. However, says the Ramah, the yesh machmir lulavina machvas, yesh machmir that you need libun. And what the achra the Ramah? Says the Ramah, libun lechumra. Therefore, you need libun kal. He says, it's not that I'm paskining you need libun. I just need machmir that you need libun. And therefore, even a small libun, which is just hot enough that straw will burn on the other side, we call libun kal, is good enough. The minig is to do libun l'chachila, libun kal. But really, theoretically, hagol is good enough if it doesn't have any crevices, because really, midina hagol is good enough. Right? And we're machre to do libun. Right? That's what I mean. We're machre to do libun. Clearly, but even if you did Haggadah, it wouldn't make your food chametz thick. Right? L'chatchila. Because really, al-pidin, Haggadah is good enough. So he only argues with the Mechaber a little. He says, we're machmer, l'chatchila to do libun. Therefore, so it's only a chumra, libun kal is good enough. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Pri-Chadash in Sivkat and Samach Zayin, who disagrees, says the Pri-Chadash, he's quoted the Mishnah Brura. He says, nope, libun gomer midina. He says, no, we absolutely paskin means libun, no room to be makel. Okay, so there's three opinions. Rechavis paskin, mamish means libun. The mechaber paskin, mamish means hagola. And then Ramah compromises and says, lechatchila libun, but it's only a chumrah. What's the juna kamina? Number one, if someone did hagola and cooked on Pesach, their food would still be Pesach thick, the diyeved.
And number two, you don't need to leave on dumber. It's enough to leave on cow.
Which is a good thing, because a lot of frying pans would break if you did leave on cover. Now, here where it gets tricky.
What does this mean, lemaisa, for us on Pesach? Let's say a guy wants a kosher frying pan for Pesach. Lemaisa, what he has to do? So the Mishnah Berurah seems pretty clear in the, what does the Mishnah Berurah say? We've got in Samach Zion. Here you're not going to see in the Magen Avraham Taz, etc. They don't bring the pre-kosher. The Mishnah Berurah says, Look at the Bir Halacha. If you look at the Bir Halacha, it seems pretty clear here in the Mishnah Berurah that he doesn't pass like the Pre-Chadosh. Seems pretty clear that we pass in like the Ramah. We Ashkenazim, again, I'm not supposed to start here. we pass like the Ramah, Liban Kal. Okay, Liban Kal is not so hard to do. Remember what we said, just put in your oven for Liban Kal? Not such a hard thing. So, I'm sure you could just do Liban Kal by, I don't know, put your, like, frying pan upside down on your, turn on the burner, put, like, dry newspaper on the other side, and you'll see when it burns, which is pretty easy to do. It's not so hard to do Liban Kal, Kitzer. However, here's what makes it complicated, which is, how do you draw the line between frying and baking? Baking needs Liban. Cooking needs Hagala. Frying... Well, that's machlokes. I'm not going to chaz the Rishonim that you'll chaz soon from some Kuf Chaf Aleph. However, there's a very important Mishnah Berurah Sukkot and Samach Hei. Says the Mishnah Berurah. And you also saw this in the Magen Avraham. I could read it from there also if I wanted. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Aval ha'agano she'ofen bo ugos be'en. The pans that we cook cake on, after most intact of the shuman, even though we smear a little schmaltz on the bottom of them so it doesn't stick. O shemen, o chema, or oil, or butter. Srichin liba medina. If you just smear a little oil so it doesn't stick, that's not called frying. That's called baking. So if I bake bread and I smear a little oil so it doesn't stick, that's called baking. That's not a significant amount of oil. V'chein ha... Okay, not sure what that is. Now here's where it gets tricky, because sometimes when people fry nowadays, I'm trying to remember if I ever saw my wife make French toast. You fry French toast.
You put like a little spritz.
So that's the problem. If the little spritz, if it's just a little spritz so it doesn't stick, if it's just a little spritz so it doesn't stick, then that's called baking, not frying. And the problem is it could be that sometimes nowadays they might fry some things with just a little spritz so it doesn't stick. And that's what makes it trickier. That's why the modern day poskim are worried that, especially we have Teflon frying pans which are already non-stick. You know, we have the spritz that we use to make things not stick. So maybe some of the things we call frying is really more like baking. So it depends what. Like when I always fry schnitzel, I think she puts like a fried schnitzel is not the same as baked schnitzel, right? You put a lot of oil and it gets the taste of the oil. That's like real frying. Obviously some things, I don't know, when my wife fries pancakes, it doesn't taste the same as if you had baked them. I think you put a lot of oil and it really like, it's a different kind of food when it's fried. So I think most of the things we fry nowadays are still old-fashioned frying and they'll never apply. But there might be some things that we fry nowadays that are really, especially, you know, nowadays, everyone wants to use less oil, right? It's like more politically correct to use less oil or something, right? So a lot of those things nowadays are choshesh, that when people have their frying pan, they sometimes fry things and they really bake them. They just spritz a little oil so it doesn't stick and they really bake them. So I don't know what the mitzvah is. You know, I know sometimes, like, I know when people make blintzes. They really fry the blintzes and, like, you know, put, like, a lot of oil to fry them, or they just, like, spritz a little so it doesn't stick, and they're really baking them. So, lemaisa, what I've seen nowadays in, you know, all the Pesach guides, is that they're all worried about this Mishnah Berurah, Sifkut, and Samach Hei, that sometimes we use our frying pans for something that's really baking and not really frying. So not always, but sometimes. And therefore, since it's used sometimes for baking, you should need Leben Gummer. And generally, you can't do Leben Gummer in our frying pans. They smell great, which is why we don't recommend kashering frying pans for Pesach, because a lot of people use them in ways that aren't really frying, like the Mishnah Berurah Sarachei. Hey, he's not talking about a frying pan, the Mishnah Berurah. He's talking about a baking tray. But nowadays, some people use frying pans in ways that are similar to a baking tray. And therefore, everyone go home and ask your wife, if she ever does this, come back Tuesday and tell me. But therefore, since sometimes people use frying pans for things that are in a way that's more like baking, then it would be Leben Gummer, and Leben Gummer is not really practical, which is why the recommendation nowadays is not to kosher frying pans for Pesach. Technically, if you know that you only use your frying pan for authentic frying, then you can do Leben Kal like the Ramah. However, halacha l'maaseh, we generally don't kosher frying pans for Pesach nowadays, because we're afraid that people use it without significant, without real frying oil.
Issur
and Kochaval, we said you always need Leben Gummer, so it didn't matter. We were more macher for Issur anyway. now, unless there are other stuff in Lahakel. You know, I said, if you cut onions with a fleshik knife and fry them in a milchik pan, you know that these surim, since there are many other stuff in Lahakel, you can do a hamela. But I'm saying, if it's real trait, then you're dead.
In that case, you just
throw it in there. Yeah, if you really trait on frying pan. Like mamish, you like fried tree meat in your frying pan, or like mamish possible salt in your frying pan or something. I don't know how often that happens. But if it would happen, or you fry mamish milchik in a benyomo fleshik frying pan, you know, then you would have to just throw it out. Because Leben Gummer is not shayach in almost all any frying pan I've seen nowadays.
And it's not really about your corona or what you're using.
It's just about the mitzvahs, whether you're really putting like a pool of oil or you're just spritzing a little so it doesn't stick. But that usually goes with kabbalah, right? When people want the fried taste, they put a pool of oil. But sometimes people just, I don't know, I'm not a bucky in these things, you have to check it out. But that's what people are choshish nowadays. Anyone here a bucky in frying? Anyone cook? Yeah, without a lot of oil. Everyone does without a lot of oil. I said that's politically correct nowadays, right? But the question is, where to draw the line? So I don't know, like, minastam, you know, I don't know, minastam, my wife puts less oil in the schnitzel than her great-grandmother did, because we're politically correct nowadays. But it still tastes good and fried. She still gets a lot of oil into that schnitzel, right? But I don't know, there are some things which maybe, you know, you really don't.
Whenever you make eggs, it sounds like eggs. The only liquid you use is just to keep it non-stick, which is very little.
Right, although eggs aren't chametz.
I toast almost every morning. I fry bread.
And?
I just do a little spritz.
Yeah, so that's baking. That's not frying. So that's why we don't kosher frying pans nowadays for Pesach, even though we hold like the Ramah. Okay, thank you. Good base. Yeah, my father-in-law actually said the best way to make a grilled cheese sandwich is in a frying pan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you don't fry the grilled cheese sandwich, you grill it. What?
How else do you do it?
And a sandwich maker.
Okay.
Doesn't everyone make it a sandwich maker nowadays?
Yeah.
Why does he think it's better than a frying pan? It's nostalgia from his youth, before they had sandwich makers. You know, things taste better if, like, that was the way you made it in your youth, and you remember the glory days. You know. Yeah, and he probably put a lot of butter. Maybe enough. Call a candle circle. How do we go staying to Mosum? All kelim, you have to kasher the handles. Right? This is real halacha l'maisa. You have to kasher the handles of your kelim. All kelim, spoons, pots, whatever it be, you have to kasher the handles. After Ramah, miu, and lo, we give my yados, but if you didn't kasher the handles, ain lefts over the evan, it's not osu over the evan. And afilu chachilu, yachol agilu, the iwish marilim. Two kulus. Bibiyavid, if you can kosher the handles, it's okay. And you can kosher the handles through Iwri, which is very lucky, because often the handles are very long, and it's hard to fit them in the pot. I can kosher the handles through Iwri. Now, one thing I want to make very clear, that generally, when we say Bibiyavid, it's mutter, I don't mean, like, if you didn't kosher the handles, Bibiyavid, you can use this pot on Pesach. Whenever we say Bibiyavid, usually, when we say Bibiyavid, it's mutter, it means if you did use it, it doesn't make the food chametz thick. But you can't use the clean. So usually we say, the evidence must, and we mean, don't use the clean, but if you did use the clean, it doesn't hurt the food. Okay, why do you have to kasha the handles? And then why the Eved is no problem, and can you use Eroi? So here, there, Mr. Brewer points out two possible reasons why you have to kasha the handles. Let's see if we can sneak this in. Why do you have to kasher the handles? So, one reason that Mr. Brewer points out, although he thinks that only applies to metal, is chametzaso chamkulo, because the blia goes through the kli into the handle. So one, for a kli mateches, and this is what the Magen Avraham seems to assume. And this is based on the Magen Avraham. If you're talking about kli mateches, chametzaso chamkulo, meaning the yadit is boleya, or bolat, it's feminine, derech ha-kli. Right? Through the blia goes all the way through to the handle. I stick my spoon into my food, through the spoon, the blia, through the bottom of the spoon, the blia goes all the way up to the top of the spoon. Right? That was, we saw it, so I'm going to bring it again to base hillel. Okay? So I'm going to bring it says, that's the problem. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, he agrees with this. He says that can't be the main reason, because that applies more to metal, which conducts heat. If you have a wooden kli with the handle, then the heat not going to be conducted. So says Mr. Brewer, and this is based on the Taz, says the Taz, because things splash on the handles, or you touch with dirty hands on the handles when it's hot, or you wash it and things splash on the handles, because of splashes or touching or washing while it's hot.
What's the concern?
What?
What's the concern with that?
The concern is that you got chametz onto the handles. And then if your handle touches the food accidentally, you know, your food splashes on the handle, then you pick it up and put it back in the pot or whatever it may be, you know, something splashes on the handle and goes into the rest of your food, you pour it out and it goes over the handle and then lands in a bowl, and meanwhile it got traced in the handle. It's very easy for that blia. The handle's right next to your pot. It's very easy. That doesn't seem to be a chumrah. If your handle is chametz thick, I would be very worried, even if I was not a machmir person, about that chametz getting into my food. Not one of these days once in 50 years. One of these days, like, you know, once every, like, 4 or 5 times I cook.
Does it make a difference when the handles on a lot of these metal cleaves have, like, plastic handles that are only screwed on by a screw?
That's a good question. So mostly I could assume if it's screwed on by a screw, chashash 1 doesn't apply. How's the blade going to get through from one cleave to another cleave? But the second chashash would still apply. You have the plastic handle screwed on by a screw, things always spill on them. All the time.
Sorry.
Yeah. for sure. They always get hot food spilled on them. Okay, so, says the Mishnah Berurah, he says both of these are true. He says both, we're worried about two things. A, we're worried about the blia going straight through if it's a piece of metal. And B, we're worried about the splashes. And D, you'll wash it and it'll splash, you'll touch it with the dirty hands.
So, we mentioned a week or two ago, you used part of the kli to throw my thing.
Okay, so hold that thought. So, hold that thought for one moment. Now, and, well, that's okay, right? Because everyone agrees that you have to kasha the whole thing, right? You have to kasha the handles. That matches what we said. Right, now, so this totally matches what we said, and very good. And remember I said everyone agreed because chila even the Ramah? This is how I know, right? Well, the kuli alma, lechachila hamishtamish, the mikzas hakli, tzarech lehagil kolakli. Right, everyone agreed with lechachila. Now we just have to ask why bidi evid, it's not a problem. Why we have these two kulas? Right, what are the kulas, however? Two kulas. Number one, bidi eved mutter. What are you bidi eved mutter? Not bidi eved, you forgot to kasha the handle, you can still use your kli. No, not true at all. But what I meant is that bidi eved if you forgot the cash in the handle, and then you go to your aunt and uncle's house for Pesach, and they didn't learn all the halachas properly, and they don't know you have the cash in the handle for the kalim, and all of a sudden they serve you food on Pesach. Okay, you can eat the food. The food's still kosher, but the eved is not the end of the world. And then, you know, you'll figure out how to teach them for next Pesach. why is it mutter for the eved? So here, excuse me. Here, if there are two shashos, you need to explain why each one is mutter for the eved. Why is this mutter for the eved? And this is what Ela referred to in Kof Chaf Aleph. Remember, if there are mutter, where Ashkenazim, kibolo kaf poto, even though you should kasha the whole clean, but if you kasha the part of the clean that was used, that's good enough. Right, remember we said we pass like that Ramah. Says the Ramah in Simon Kof Chaf Aleph, kibolo kaf poto. Interestingly, the Magen Avraham disagrees here. Okay, let's take it one step at a time. So that's why that's not a problem with the Eved. Why is the second one not a problem with the Eved? The second one's not a problem with the Eved. But Chametz might have splashed there, so why isn't that a problem with the Eved? Who wants to give me a halachic rule? Bidyevet? Exactly. Lo, bidyevet. Machzikin on Isura. We know Chomer de Chametz lechachila, we're machzik everything. Where, you know, everything short of space aliens came into your Pesach closet and put bread there. Anything up to there,
we're
machzik. Lechachila. That's lechachila. Bidyevet. Lo machzikin on Isura. But the fact they're machzik that also. Okay, we know the story. So, however, says the Taz an interesting nafkamina. He says, but you know what, one case? Anyone remember, we mentioned this once, but it was like a tangent. What's the one case where the Gemara says you have the kasher handle? There's only one kind of thing where the Gemara explicitly talks about handles and says you have the kasher. The knife. And Daf Lamed of Sechem Sachem says, the blade and the handle, you have to do hagala. So says the Taz. But for a knife, even bidyevet, it's a problem if you didn't do a galah. Why? So this is very poshut. Anyone ever use a knife? When I cut a lasagna with a knife, does only the blade touch the hot lasagna, or does the handle also go into the hot lasagna a little? When I cut a lasagna with a knife, the handle also goes into the lasagna. When you cut with a knife, very often, it depends. If you use a knife like this, you know, but if you use a regular knife, you know, a regular silverware knife to cut the lasagna, for sure the handle goes into it. And therefore, he says, the Sashtah says, for knife, it's not speaking Isura. You always stick your handle into your lasagna. So then it's a problem even with the Eved. And that's why the Gemara says explicitly that it needs to be kashered. But for most cases, you don't always get chametz on the handle. A pot handle, you don't always get chametz on the pot handle, just might have. Then, with the Eved, not speaking Isura. Elon? Okay. The other kula is that yachol lehag'ilam on the iroi. You can kasha them with just iroi. Why can you kasha them with just iroi? What about these two possibilities? So here the Mishmar also explains it's very simple. If we're worried about splashing is iroi. So you can kasha with, don't worry, hot food might have splashed onto it. Okay. So that's Eroi. So you kasher it through Eroi. So hachshash who Eroi. The problem with Eroi, you're afraid something splashed on it. It splashes Eroi. So if it might have gotten traced through Eroi, you kasher it through Eroi. You're not afraid you took the pot handle and stuck it into another Kli Rishon. No, why would you do that? What about this case? What about if it's Chametz also Cham Kulo? So explain to Mishnah Berurah that Lia chelek mehakli derech chelek acher shaveh le'iroi. What are we worried? That the handle was belea, because it's one piece, and the blia went into the main pot and then spread to the handle. That spreading is no stronger than iroi. Since it only spread, that's equivalent to iroi, and you can kasher it through iroi. That is taka, big chiddush, actually. That spread blia is the equivalent of a iroi. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. He says here in Sifkatan, ayin aleph, The gam litvah for this avalu shabalu yerusal. Oh no, one second. He says here someplace. Maybe not the Mishnah. Yeah, sorry, it's a mugging of Rav. And Chafei says, Hari is a domagamkin that you were shahocha bli mitzad de la tzad de. And the bliya goes from one side to another side. That's just the equivalent of a yuri. Therefore, yuri can kasher it.
Well, okay. Why do you need yuri to kasher it?
Because you got a bliya.
No, but you're kashering the main.
But look at Tila, we don't rely on Kabbalah Kasboto.
Maybe this would work with that Tila.
Correct, exactly. Exactly. Look at Tila. Okay, here, by the way, the Magen Avraham here has something which Mishnah Berurah and all the Achronim are against. The Magen Avraham says Kabbalah Kasboto doesn't work even with Yevet. Against Pasha Sudar Ma in Kuf Kaf Aleph. Just a father for a second. Right? How about, Blia Shenichna Lemikta Hakli Vehigil Mikta Zo? So, says the Magen Avraham, that the Tzad Hasheni is still Osir. What the Rebbe said, he says that the other half is still Osir. He doesn't believe in Kabbalah Kasboto. However, all the Achronim here, the Mishnah Berurah, Gra, the Chuli, Alpi, the Ramah, and Simon, Kof Kof Aleph, say, Kibolo, Kachoto, at least, Bidi Efet. The Mishnah Berurah here disagrees with the idea of Kibolo, Kachoto. He wants to even say the Ezra Rabbah didn't mean it, although it's a little hard to say. But we say, no, Bidi Efet, Kibolo, Kachoto. It's just the Kachila, you need to kasher the whole thing, and the Kachila is enough to kasher part of it, but we showed in the other part with Yiroi. Okay, that is Halakha Lemayna. There's no other questions, we'll answer you at Gibel. Kli Sheish, yes. And so we'll get the board while Yossi has a question.
I'm not trying to formalize, but I always thought Yiroi was Kli Rishon, I just only got the definite Kli Rishon. Not that it was its own version of...
Okay, that is a very strong question on this Magen Avraham, I admit. It's a very good question on this Magen Avraham, which is, if Yiroi only kashers Kli Klipa, how does that help for the handle? It's not the Klipa the handle that got it, it's the whole handle that got it. it's a great question on the Magen Avraham. I was wondering if anyone would ask it. So Baruch Hashem, you did. Now, does that mean I have an answer? So the answer is, we'll have to leave that a little bit bizarre, Eon, because you would think that Adrava, it's like the inside that got more of a bliya, because that was closer to the main part of the pot, not the outer layer. So how does the Eori help for that? That's a very good question. And the Mishnah Berurah doesn't really talk about it at all. And the Magen Avraham. Okay, I have to leave that for you. It's a good question. Okay, Yud Gimel. Kli sheish lo tefilah, a kli with a patch. Maybe we'll see if we can run through it a little in the next few minutes. So just get a little further. Kli sheish lo tefilah, a kli with a patch. In, right, this whole discussion is in the Rishonim, it's not found in the Gemara. In Kadama Tzlaya Lulis Eser, if the patch was before it was used for Chametz, meaning either it was patched when it was new or it was kashered and then patched before it was Molea, in Tzar Tzlaya, you don't remove the patch, the Kabbalah Kachpolto, because just like it's Molea with the patch, it'll be Polea with the patch. In Kadama Tzlaya Eser Lulis, but if it was Molea Eser, meaning in this case Chametz, and then you patched it, Tzar Tzlaya, after you move the patch, Kodama Gala, yasim dechal machma apply, or put coals into leva into the place where the patch is. Achi yitro, gofa yitro, until you burn out the yitro. In yeshno, if there's yitro. Yacharkach malgo kli, and then do I go all the rest of the kli, yishal eitz, ein lo takana. And therefore, if it's wood, then obviously putting coals into leva won't help, it'll get burnt and ruined. So what do? If it has a patch, let's say you can't remove the patch. And you can't do Liban. Alan King Yarshua said, he said basically, like, what if you have like a crevice in a wood cleat? You can't do Liban. Liban ruins a wood cleat, it burns it. So you have to carve out the crevice and make it bigger so you can clean it. And as the Ramah, Roshim Shaosum Ungum Sokhana Mutter, the little etchings that the craftsman make in the kalim is okay. Since it was made when it was new, okay, that's a different language which deals with most of it. Now, you just have to clean it well. Okay, the principle at the end of this is very clear. Something has a crevice, you have to either it's cleanable, like the little etchings of the craftsman which are easy to clean, or if it's not so easy to clean, you have to put do leave on there. And if it's not easy to clean and it's wood, and you can't do leave on, then the only solution is to widen the crevice by carving, and then you'll be able to clean it. But let's go back to the first part, which deals with the tefillah. You got the board, right?
Yes.
So there are two cases. Let's do the first case. And what's confusing these two cases, which the Achronim talk about a lot, but we'll just summarize very briefly, is, are we worried here about the liyot, or are we worried here about the end? Right? The Mechaber is not so clear in his language, and the Rishonim aren't so clear in their language. What's the chashash here? Is the chashash for bli or for ben? And that's a big machlokes in those. So Caleb, maybe we'll just summarize the halacha le'maisa. So, what's the first case? Kadam fly le'bliya. First, it had a patch, and then absorbed chametz.
What's the answer is, right? It's mutter, you can do Hagalah without removing the patch.
Why? So here the problem is, let's just figure out the Svara.
What's the Svara? Svara is, we're not worried about removing Glios because Simbolo Kapolto.
Don't say, how can the Hagalah remove the bleos to a patch? Maybe the patch will, like, keep the bleos inside, don't it? If it absorbs with the patch, you can kasher with the patch. It's the same shape when it absorbs as when it kashers, so gabola kafboto. What about
the N? But maybe there is the N stuck under the patch.
What if there's the end stuck under the patch? How can you say, I understand Kabbalah Kafolta, but Hagalah doesn't remove the end. What if there's a crumb under the patch? So here is Machlok Smogin Avram and Taz how to read this whole case. Says the Magen Avram,
he says, you also need Liban Kal on the patch.
Because what does Liban Kal do? Remember, it burns out the Be'en in crevices. This is very strange. It sounded like only if the Bliyah is covered in the fly, you need Liban. So what the Magen Avraham is going to say, no, if the Bliyah is covered in the fly, you need Liban Gomer. If the fly is covered in the Bliyah, you only need Liban Kal.
However, that's not what the Taz said. The Taz says, it needs no Kinta. There's no Kinta. That the patch is very tight without crevices.
Well, the case is that the patch, it's a very tight patch. There's no crevices, no place for the end to get in. Okay, then it makes sense. What? They're not really arguing then. The Bishavur Pass is like the Taz, but it's a funny kind of stock, so they're not really arguing, right? They're really both right. Meaning, they're not necessarily both right in terms of interpreting the Mechaber. The Mishnah Berurah says the Taz is the right shot of the Mechaber. The Mechaber didn't mean Liban Kal. He meant only Hagalah. Why are you worried about a crumb under the patch? Because the patch is on very tight and there's no place for a crumb to get. Like it's soldered on. Okay, but they're both right.
Lamaisa.
If it's a tight patch, then just do Ebola. If it's a loose patch, then you have to leave them cotton.
Let's go to the second case. What's the second case? Condom. Bleed the fly. Sorry, Lebon. The muckum has fly. Why?
What are we worried about if it's kadam liban lit fly? What are we worried about?
So this is a masochist. What kind of liban? Right? Says the
rush, if I have it right.
Yeah, or it says the rush. Says the Rashba. The problem is the N that got trapped under the patch.
Since it was used chametz stick first and then patched, maybe they didn't wash it well when they patched it. Maybe when they put the patch on, there's a little bit N under the patch. And therefore, what do you need to fix it?
You need Lebon towel to burn away the bin. But there's no problem removing the bleels. However, the rush, and that's really what the Taz sounds like. The rush, and this is Elamon Abraham Paskin, the rush says, no.
Rush says there's a bigger problem.
The problem is that bleels that entered without a patch can't be removed through a patch.
This is used common sense. First, it was Vallejo without a patch. Like, this wall was Vallejo without a patch. Now you put a patch. You know, without a patch, it's stronger than with a patch. First, the bleels went in without a patch. Now you put a patch. Now you want the water to go in through a patch. When the water goes in through a patch, that's weaker. And it's not going to look out postal. You're doing Hagol in a weaker way than it absorbed.
So why are we assuming that the Lebon go behind the patch and destroy the
bleels? Because Lebon goes from one end to the other.
And therefore, he says the Magen Avraham, you need Lebon Gomer.
You need Lebon Gomer to remove bleels.
To burn the bit end in the crevice, like trapped. Lebon Gomer to burn bleels, since you can't burn the bleels with Haggalah, you have to burn away the bleels with Lebon Gomer.
And that's the psak of the Magen Avraham.
This is the Pashtos of the Machaber, and the Taz definitely sounds like this. And this is Magen Avraham, who sort of has to say that.
He says you need Lebon Kal, even if it's Kadam Fly Lebleo. How do we paskin? Says the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know how many times we actually pass our Kedlam nowadays, so I might not go through all the rest of the discussions in the Nosa Kedlam. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Zipkat 9 Vav, he makes a Pshara, and he says, Ein Ben Yomo, you can be Makel against the Magen Avraham.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, says cotton iron vav. He says if it's ben yomo we should be machmir, but if it's ain't no ben yomo, so it's only a shiloh mood to our banan, then we can be makel.
The ma'aseh we generally touch things there ain't no ben yomo, so we can be makel against the Magen Avraham here. Okay, there's a ton more discussions of all kinds of tin plating kalim, etc., and what all the rules are. Apparently when they used to plate kalim with tin, they would melt the tin and pour it on it. The Mishnah Berurah says, oh, that's fine, that's a really good column you pour the tin on. And then what if we're worried they did it wrong and they trapped the thing in between? Okay, we're not going to get into this right now. Let's try to run through a little more. Yod Daled. Ready? Kisoy shel barzel shemachakba kadeira. The metal pot cover. Tzarek hagola, need hagola. Why? Came in shemaziyah b'chol shom. It's like there because it gets the day of the pot. Remember, the steam inside the pot counts as liquid. We saw that in many places in Yordea. Being the snu of a petra like dear blood gala. And what if you put the pot cover on Pesach? You didn't kosher your pot cover and you used it on Pesach, your Pesach like food, then you're in big trouble. Kol tavshel aser shezeya sakis mitar v'tavshel. The whole, all your food becomes treif because the zeya touches the pot cover and then gets mixed in to your pot cover, to your food. Okay, two details that I won't chazer inside now that are discussed by the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah here that are reminiscent of what we learned in Hilchos B'cholov. Number one, what if you put it for a second on your Pesachic pot and then realized and removed it right away? Who remembers the din in Hilchos B'cholov? Let's say the bottom is hot and you put a cold Pesachic pot cover on it for 1 second. Then, if you take it off and it's dry, you see the Zeya didn't go there, and it didn't touch the Zeya, it didn't touch the food. Even though it touched the pot, bleed doesn't go from pot to pot without rotev, so then everything's okay. But if it starts to get wet, then it's a problem. The other discussion is, what about if it's Einu Ben Yomo? Remember, we had a whole funny Ramah who made this chumrah that a pot cover, even if it's Einu Ben Yomo, makes things usher. So they say, well, in Pesach, we're machmir and Einu Ben Yomo anyway, generally. So it's not really much of a nafkamina. But interestingly, the Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, give credence to that weird chumrah, the Ramah. We paskin that we do not give credence that weird chumrah the Ramah unless it's a funny shaped pot cover with cracks and crevices. But a normal pot cover, we do not give credence that chumrah. Tesvav kisa shel barzel shemesimenos ala chararik shenefes ala kiret zarech libon. A metal cover that you put not on a pot of liquid that you're cooking. A metal cover that you put on dry things that you're baking. Charara is a loaf, some sort of cake. Needs libun. It's more chomer. Why is it more chomer? Because it's not used for cooking, it's used for baking. If it's used for baking, it needs libun. Why might we think that it wouldn't need to be captured at all? Because it doesn't touch. After all, the pot cover touches the steam. Right? With this chavrara cover, what's your chavrara cover? Here's your chavrara. Obviously, the bottom tray touches the charara. That's a baking tray. It needs libun. But the cover doesn't touch the charara. So why do you need libun? So there are two reasons. One is what the Torah says, and the Magen Avraham quotes, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Pa'amim nogeya b'charara. Sometimes it does touch. That makes a lot of sense to us. Yeah, it's not necessary to touch it. But sometimes, not that everyone knows when you cover something, you put the cover on, you always touch it on the way to putting it on and taking it off. Right? And sometimes the charara, like, gets a little, you know, rises a little more than we thought. So sometimes it does touch it. That's such a pleasure reason we'd all agree with that. Interestingly, the Torah in the Magen Avraham bring a second answer, which is not in the Mishnah Berurah. What do they say? They say, Zeya hacharara, the Zeya of the cake. Say, there's Zeya, the Zeya of the cake touched it. And that's why it needs to be kashered. Here we get into a big machlokas about the Zeya of cakes. What's the big machlokas about the Zeya of cakes? What's the din? Zeyas Oakland. The din of the Zeya of solids. So, without getting into it here, but there are three shitas. Maybe the Torah in the Magen Avraham and the Chor in the Bach, which Magen Avraham quotes, say need libun. A big chumrah. It says, listen to this crazy chumrah. The zeya of a cake counts as a solid. And therefore, if the zeya of a cake goes into it, it's as if it roasted a solid in it on the fire and it needs libun. That's a big chumrah. Now, I don't know if that's the term Magen Avraham means. They like throw this in as a second reason. They might mean one reason it touches the charara, so it needs libun. And also it touches the zeya, which would require hagolah, so there's two reasons it needs to be kashered. Like, I'm not sure this is what they mean. The Bach sound is what you need libun. Most achronim say, you know what happens if you touch the zeya of solid? It needs hagolah. Why? Because zeya is steam. Steam is like a liquid. The liquid that comes out of a solid is a liquid. You need hagolah. What would happen if the gravy of a solid dripped onto something? It would need hagolah. So it's just cooking liquids. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah leaves it out. That's not why you need libun. That might be why you need Hagala, but that's not why you need Levon. The Prima Gaudin here points out, remember, Moshe quoted this, doesn't count at all. Remember, the Prima Gaudin and the Shita, the Zeya of an Ochel doesn't count as anything. It doesn't exist halachically. Only Zeya of liquids have halachic status. Zeya of Ochel has no halachic status. It's totally kosher. Okay, so there are three Shitas. What if something absorbed the steam of a salad, of an Ochel? The Prima Gaudin says, steam of an Ochel doesn't count as a halachic chetza, doesn't make treif at all, or chametzik at all. Most of them say would need Hagalah. And that's why the Mishnah would leave out. That's not why it needs Levon. The money to run the tour might mean, and the box sounds this way, it would need Levon. That's a big chumrah. Halach l'maisa, we assume, like this. However, if you look in the Chak Yaakov here, he says, but remember, I paskin like Rav Moshe Feinstein, obviously, anachronistically, that we always assume that salads don't have zeya, and that's why you can cook salad, milk, and meat in the same oven. Then he says, okay, chumrah de pesach here, we're choshes for zeya salads, but even though zeya salads would require hagalah, we assume salads don't have zeya all year long, and don't worry about it for meat and milk, only worry about it on pesach. Okay, that is your dalet. That is tesvav, rather. Okay, we will have to, by hook or by crook, finish Shimon Tafton Aleph, Amir Tashem and Shir on Tuesday. So the schedule is Tuesday we finish Shimon Tafton Aleph, even if